Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're talking about our response matters. Sometimes God gives us these words. Sometimes he gives us a word about what's going to be coming in our future. And the way we respond to those words that he gives us is important. The way we respond matters. Today, we're going to be taking a look at two different stories. One from the story of Samson, when God tells Samson's parents that they're going to have a son named Samson. The other is when the angel appears to the parents of John the Baptist and tells them they're going to have a son, John the Baptist. The stories are very, very similar, but we see two different responses from the fathers of Samson and John the Baptist. And that response gets two very different results that we'll see. So we're going to be taking a look at that. But let's get started with prayer. And then we'll get into this a little bit more. We're going to start with, if you're new to us here, we always start these daily communions with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez that's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a couple minutes to get still and to examine ourselves, to get our hearts and minds prepared before we get into our time of communion today. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all of our families, friends, all those connected to us, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And I just thank you, Lord, for releasing us from darkness, for transferring us into the light. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And I thank you that you are faithful. You always fulfill your words. You speak and then you act. You speak and then you follow through. You promise and fulfill. I just thank you for your faithfulness and your perfect timing in these promises that you've given us. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us, help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to go through the other half of prayer first. Our first step, getting positioned in the light. God has released us from darkness, transferred us into the light, into the kingdom of Jesus. And it's the forgiveness of sins that makes that transfer happen. It's the forgiveness of sins. But that forgiveness and grace and mercy and love have to flow through three levels. We have to be receiving it from God, which is partly in our response, receiving that and just saying, thank you. Just with our words, receiving what he has for us. Then letting it flow through us. We often beat ourselves up, condemn ourselves. We're our own worst critics. We put all the pressure on ourselves to get everything perfect. And we don't give ourselves that same grace and forgiveness and mercy and love that God has given us. Often we're the kink in the hose. We're the thing that's blocking the flow of what God wants to do. We're going to see that actually in the story of John the Baptist's father. He was getting in the way of what God was trying to do. And so God had to take some steps to remove his mouth out of the way, actually, because he was speaking unbelief. And then it's got to flow through us. out to other people, to give them the same love and grace and mercy, which means we got to forgive. We got to walk in love. We got to take the pressure off of other people, just like God is doing for us. And we got to let some things go. We got to release some things that maybe we're holding against other people. Bitterness, grudges, ways people have wronged us. We got to just release it, let go of some things. View them through the eyes of grace right now in the present moment. The things that have happened in the past are gone. Nothing we can do to change them. But we can give grace and love right now in this present moment. So that brings us into the light. But then we got to begin to magnify that light. We can begin to do that through gratitude. We can do that through focusing on what's going well, all the steps forward that we've taken. By magnifying God, by focusing on Him. In our life, really, there's two options. We can focus on light and goodness and God and His word and His promises, what He's spoken to us. We can focus on those things, whatever's lovely and just and true, praiseworthy and beautiful and honest. We can focus on all those things and magnify those things, things that we're grateful for. Or we can focus on darkness. We can focus on all that's wrong, all the evil, things to complain about, ways that people have wronged us, things that are not going well, all the progress we haven't made yet. And there's no end to those things that we can begin to focus on those. Whichever one we begin to magnify is going to begin to grow bigger and bigger on the inside of us. Whichever one we begin to magnify is going to begin to grow bigger and bigger. And one of the greatest ways we can begin to magnify this more is just by increasing our thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is one of the greatest expressions of faith, I believe. Just increasing your thanksgiving, growing more and more thankful. And remember this, you're either thankful or you're not. You're either thankful or you're not. Which means we're either in gratitude and thinking of things that we're grateful for and appreciative, acknowledging those things that we're appreciative of, or we're complaining, moaning, groaning about all that's not right. It's all a matter of focus. Here's the truth. We can be transferred into the light, but we can be magnifying darkness. All based on what I'm thinking about, what I'm focused on, what I'm meditating on a daily basis. We're all thinking about something, talking about something, meditating on something all day long. And God gives us the choice for that to be light or for that to be darkness. And whichever one we begin to focus on is going to begin to get magnified and grow bigger on the inside of you. And it's going to begin to show up in your life, in your emotions, as the fruit of the lips, as the fruit of the actions that you take. It's going to begin to show up in those. So one of the greatest things we can do to see a shift in life, focus on the light, increase your gratitude, one of the greatest things you can do. So then it's going to show up in our emotions. How are your levels of peace and joy over the last 24 hours? And what God has shown me is it's like a light switch. Either His supernatural peace and joy are flowing in my life or they're not. It's hot or cold. It's black or white. It's on or off. There's no lukewarm in the middle. Either it's flowing or it's not. Same thing with gratitude, same thing with thanksgiving, faith, peace, joy, all those. It's either on and flowing or it's not. And we get into that place sometimes where we have that peace and joy flowing because we're focused on the light. We're magnifying that light. But then sometimes the problems and issues come and we get focused on them and we lose that for a little bit and it shuts off. We get out of faith, we get into stress and worry and fear and dread, unthankful, and it shuts off that flow. And then it's learning to sustain it, where we stay in that state of faith and thanksgiving and peace and joy continually. So the question is, what is knocking you out of that? And bringing that area to God and saying, God, I need your help in this area. Your grace is more than enough. What you put in me is more than enough. Help me to keep my eyes fixed on you when these things come at me. And those problems and issues might still be there. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have troubles. But to be of good cheer, because He's overcome the world. Keeping our eyes fixed on Him, that He loves you. He's got steadfast love for you. And nothing is impossible with Him. And then what do you know to do today? We're going to get more in the present moment where God is, he says, I am, I'm in the present moment. What do you know to do today? Over the next 24 hours, often the things that we know to do begin to pile up on the inside of us. We begin to procrastinate. Oh, I know I need to do that. I keep meaning to do that. Anything that you say like that is piling up on the inside, and it's blocking your mental clarity, is lowering your energy levels, and it's blocking your ability to hear as clearly from God. So we've got to start taking action and chipping away at those things that are piling up on the inside. You'll be amazed at the clarity you get when you begin to do this. So two important things. What do you know to do today? What do you know to do today? Just begin to make your list. What needs to get done? What do you know needs to get done? What are things God's prompting or stirring you to do on the inside? And then focus on executing them the right way, trusting that God is with you. He's there to equip you and to empower you and to anoint you to do those things that you know to do and to do them in his strength. You don't have to do them on your own anymore. He's side by side right there. He's in you and with you and side by side with you to help you to do these things in his strength. But you have to learn to roll that pressure over on him. Rather than trying to do it all in your own strength, you got to rely and trust and put your confidence in him to help you to execute these things. One of the responses today we're going to see again from John the Baptist, his dad, is looking at what was possible in his own eyes rather than what's possible with God. And it put him into unbelief. God had to take some action to correct it because he needed something done in the earth. So then as we go about executing your day, you're doing the things that you know to do. Another important key is staying tuned in throughout the day. And one of the greatest practices I think you could develop is just getting still and listening for a few minutes every day. What is God trying to teach you today? Just get still. Ask him this question. God, what is it you wanted to show me today? What is it you were trying to teach me or to train me in or to show me today? And just get still for a couple minutes. And whatever comes to mind, you just ask him a question. Whatever comes to mind, just begin to write it down. We're going to see in the example of Samson's dad today. Samson believed God was with him. He believed his word, but then he had a question. Can you help us know how to raise this boy? Great question for parents. Can you help us know how to raise this boy up the way you want him raised up? It says God heard his prayer and answered it and came and helped him. Came and talked to him. Showed him what he needed to know. So let's take a look at these stories. Judges chapter 13. This is a story of Samson. It says a certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites, so from the tribe of Dan, had a wife who was childless and unable to give birth. And the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you are barren and childless, but you're going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink and that you do not eat anything unclean. You'll become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched with a razor because the boy is to be a Nazarite dedicated to God from the womb. He'll take the lead in delivering Israel from the hand of the Philistines. So the angel's appearing to Samson's mom and telling her that she's going to have a child, which looked to her like it was impossible. She'd been childless and unable to give birth. And he gave her the rules of a Nazarite. In the Old Testament, these were the rules of a Nazarite. Eat nothing from the vine, drink no wine or fermented drink, eat nothing unclean, and don't cut your hair. Those are the rules for a Nazarite who is separated to God. We see Jesus takes a Nazarite vow when he's at the Last Supper. He says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of heaven. And then when does that happen? Right before Jesus dies, he says, I thirst, and they give him wine vinegar, right? They give him vinegar, fermented drink. He fulfills it on the cross. So then it continues. Then the woman went to her husband and told him, a man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God, very awesome. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, you'll become pregnant and have a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from the womb until the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord. Now notice, the angel appears to Samson's mom. Samson's mom goes to her husband, Manoah, and tells him what happened. And so Manoah does the following. Manoah prays to the Lord. He says, pardon your servant, Lord. I beg you to let the man of God you sent to us, so send that angel back to us again, to come teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. This is a great prayer for parents right here. Father, you've given us this child. Would you come teach us how to bring up this child who's been given to us? Would you come teach us how to raise up these children you've given us? Because I don't trust that I can figure out how to do it on my own. You know, the running joke is that, you know, parenting doesn't come with a manual type of thing. God, come teach us how to bring. Now, notice the faith in this statement. For him to pray this prayer, he has to believe that what was spoken to them is going to come true. It's going to come to pass. And notice, he prays this prayer. And what does it say very next verse? Verse 9. God heard Manoah. God heard him. And the angel of the Lord came again to the woman while she was out in the field. But her husband Manoah was not with her. So God heard the prayer. He said, all right, I'll come teach you. I'll come help you. So the woman hurried to tell her husband. He's here, she said. And the man who appeared to me the other day, he's here. So Manoah got up and followed his wife. And when he came to the man, he said, are you the man who talked with my wife? I am, he said. So Manoah asked him, when your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule that governs the boy's life and work? Another good question. What is the word? Now notice what he says here. When your words are fulfilled. He already believes it. It's not happened yet. He already believes. We're going to see a big difference in the story of John the Baptist's father here in a second. When your words are fulfilled, that's a question of faith. What is to be the rule that governs the boy's life and work? So he wants to know, how can we raise this child up the way you want? When your words are fulfilled, God, I believe that what you told me is true, that you're going to do it. You promised it, you're going to fulfill it. Help us to raise this child. And then the angel gives him the same thing that he told his wife. Now, if you look, another story that relates to this as well, when Mary, the mother of Jesus, finds out that she's going to have a son, the angel appears to her and says, Mary, you're going to give birth, even though you're a virgin. She says, be it unto me. All people over the world are going to call me blessed from this point on. She had faith, just simple faith. She believed the word. So let's take a look at the opposite example. This is the story of John the Baptist. It says, this is Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. So these are priests. Elizabeth is a descendant of Aaron, who was the original high priest in the Old Testament. Zechariah is a priest. He's in the temple as a priest. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God. It means they were doing right. They were good people, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood. So they rolled dice, basically, to choose who was to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So he was chosen to go in. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, now keep in mind, there's not many guys that can go into the temple. He is in a position called by God. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar. So the angel's appearing to him in God's temple. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He'll be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord." Now notice, he's going to give the same instructions pretty much that was given to Samson's parents. He's never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. He'll bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So he's given him some amazing promises. But then Zechariah asked this question. Verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years also. How can I be sure?" Now notice the response. Samson's father says, "When your word is fulfilled, how are we going to raise this boy up?" He's asking a question that's a believing question. Zechariah asks the question, "How can I be sure of this?" So then the angel said to him, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you're going to be silent and not able to speak until this day, until the day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." So Gabriel tells him, "You didn't believe my words. And so now I have to shut your mouth because your words are very important. Your words are so important because that's how you express faith. That's how God works through you. One of the ways that he works through you." And he can't have Zechariah speaking against and messing up what God is trying to get done on the earth. God can't have it because our words are that important. He had to shut his mouth. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. The angel shut his mouth, and they realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. And so he could not speak until the day John the Baptist was born. Then they're asking, "What are we going to name this child?" And his mother responded, "We're going to name him John because that's what the angel said." And everybody's like, no, we shouldn't name him John. So they ask his father, "What are we going to name him?" And he writes on the tablet because he can't speak. He writes John. And then all of a sudden, once that happens, he believes now. His tongue is loosened and he's able to speak. And he begins to prophesy by the Holy Spirit about all that God has done. So two different responses. Our response matters. Think about Abraham. God promises Abraham, very similar promise to Zechariah, "I'm going to give you a child in your old age," even though it looks impossible. And Abraham responds with faith and believe, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He became a friend of God. So you've got some pretty amazing things to meditate on in these stories here. But we're going to take communion. Say, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your steadfast, unfailing love for us, and that nothing is impossible for you. We're just asking for your help to receive these promises that you've given us, Lord, and to respond to them in the same way. And to respond to them with faith and belief in you. Father, we're just thankful that you're faithful when we respond with faith and belief to come and answer our questions and to show us the path to take, that you're there to help us to know how to raise our children. We can depend on you for that. And Father, I just thank you for this bread. And then on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he told his disciples, I was just reading it last night, "Take it. Take it, receive it." Because of Jesus, he makes you right with God and holy and perfect. And you can approach him with freedom and confidence. If we go back to the story of Samson's dad, after that story happens, Samson's dad starts freaking out, saying, "We've seen God, we're going to die. we've seen God. God's going to kill us. We've seen this. And his Samson's mother says, you know what? No, he wouldn't have shown up and showed us all these things about what was going to happen if he planned to kill us. He has good plans for us. He has good intentions for us. Father, we just thank you for that. We just receive that from you. That you want to do more through us than we can ever ask or dream or think or imagine, according to your power that's at work within us. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into light. Notice, even with Zechariah, God had to shut his mouth for a little bit. But in the end, he used him to speak through him, to prophesy through him about all God was going to do through John, all God had planned to do. There's always grace. Father, we just thank you for this covenant relationship where we can know you more and more, to know your heart and all you want to do for in our lives, to know you more and more. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, so now it's about walking it out. When you begin to see promises, or God brings promises to you in your life, and you know he's speaking to you, our response matters. And yes, there's always grace and mercy if we miss it, but our response matters. That simple faith and belief in God, it just says receiving it. If you have questions, you can ask, but ask them from that believing standpoint. Another good story I would recommend you read. Go read the story of when the angel appears to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Pay attention to her response. See how she responds as well with faith and belief. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the Abundant Life Training Center.com.